So let's read now Psalm 65, and the title of our message today is A Harvest of Praise. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders, where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. The word of God. Let us look to him in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you for this psalm, for this meditation of the psalmist. And we pray, Lord God, that as we consider your thoughts, that you would strengthen our meditations and our reflections on you and your love and your power and your working in us and in the world. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, I was in a position where I was not able to speak as well as I can today. I'm thankful that the Lord has given me my voice back. But I'm also thankful that we had someone to come up here and, in a moment's notice, take charge of the service and lead it for us. And one of the things that was mentioned last Sunday during the service was the prayer that was offered by the governor of Georgia praying for rain. So I checked this report out, and it turns out that the governor of Georgia, his name is Sonny Perdue, and he actually called for a prayer meeting on the state capitol steps in the state of Georgia, called for the lawmakers and clergy and anyone else that would want to gather to pray for an end to the worst drought in the South since records have been kept. A drought that threatens the public water supply, not only in Georgia, but in the state surrounding. And there are legal battles raging because of this drought, let alone the impact that it's having on the people of that area. And so in this prayer meeting, Governor Perdue prayed, God, we need you. We need rain. And he called every person who believes in the power of prayer to appeal to him who can and will make a difference. And then Governor Perdue quoted from Psalm 65. He quoted from the very psalm that we are considering this week for our study on Thanksgiving. Because of all the references it makes to the Lord's pouring out rain and drenching the world and providing the abundance through the rain that he gives. We've seen how Psalm 65 begins, praise awaits you, O God in Zion. Praise is fitting for you. And praise is fitting from us, particularly at this time of year, at Thanksgiving, isn't it? And so, try to take this whole week to be a time of praise and thanksgiving for all of God's goodness, all of His mercies, all of His blessings to us. And to take the time to count your many blessings. And that this would encourage us to an outlook of life of thanksgiving and gratitude and contentment to God. And so that we can say all the time, praise is fitting for God. And in the words of the psalmist, praise is fitting for his presence and for his power. And that's how the psalm can really be broken down. praise is fitting for the bounty. The bounty of God as our Savior. For the one who prospers and overwhelmingly provides for us. Far beyond all that we could ask or imagine. So, Psalm 65, King David, he calls us to pray. He calls us to praise the Lord. And I'd like to break that down into 4 points on our little outline on the back. 4 points of prayer based on the word pray. P-R-A-Y. Psalm 65, David first of all calls us to praise. Like many of the Psalms in the Psalm book, it is a call to praise the Lord over and over again. There are countless challenges and invitations to do just that, to lift up the Lord. And that's why the book of Psalms is our inspired hymn book. And for very practical blessings in your own life. When there are times when you don't feel like giving thanks, times when you don't feel like praising God, that's just the time to spend time in this book, to just read one psalm after another, and think about it, and meditate on what the psalmist is rejoicing in. Because that's what the psalms are designed to do. They're designed to lift up the Lord. And as you get into that, as you lift up the Lord through the psalms, then God will lift you up as well. And then, once again, you'll be able to see life from the Lord's perspective and have a spirit of thanksgiving. And this is what King David does. He was a tremendous writer, a man of tremendous gifts and abilities, and he had tremendous insight into the ways of the Lord. And so once again, in a unique way, in this psalm, as in many others, he gives us every reason to give thanks and to praise the Lord. And so he begins, "Praise awaits you, O God in Zion." Praise is fitting for you. Praise the Lord. And so this whole psalm is a hymn of praise to God as our Creator and as the sustainer of the whole world. Look, for example, at the second part of verse 5. "The hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas." And of verse 8. "Those living far away fear your wonder. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly." In verse 11, "You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance." It's no wonder then that David can conclude the last couple of verses with this psalm by speaking of the grasslands of the desert and the hills and the meadows and the valleys as they all shout for joy and sing to the Lord. God's creation all brings praise and honor to Him because praise awaits you. Praise is fitting for you. And so David starts out by praising the Lord. And especially as we look at the beginning of the psalm, praising the Lord for His presence. And so we focused on Mount Zion last week, didn't we? Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. In Jerusalem. Where His temple is located, where the Holy of Holies is located, where God is present in the middle of His people, where God dwells. And so David goes on to think about that and what that means. And he looks not only at God's chosen people, the Israelites, but he looks beyond. He looks to the future. He looks to what God will do. As the whole world will be invited to come into the presence of the Lord. And so he revels there in verse 2, "To you all men will come." And so he goes on to rejoice in the blessings of God's presence as he says there in verse 4, "Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple." So David just encourages us to reflect on the blessings of being near God, of being close to God. Whatever our circumstances, of knowing God along with all the other blessings that He pours out upon us. What is it that makes this possible? How is it possible for people like us to come into God's presence with the confidence of David? Well, he tells us there in verse 3, when we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. We asked this last week, have you ever been in that place in your life where you feel overwhelmed by your sin? I have. That, in a way, at times that's the reality of our lives, isn't it? But the good news is that the Lord has graciously provided a way for us as He has dealt with our sins, past, present, and future, and He continues to deal with us when we're overwhelmed by our sins, and all the time, as He continues to pick us up and dust us off and keeps drawing us to Himself, just as a parent does with his child. And so, praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. Praise is fitting for you, for the blessings of your presence, but also for the blessing of your power. And so verses 1 to 4, he focuses on praising God for His presence, for the privilege of coming to the presence of God. And then in the rest of the psalm, he just revels and rejoices in the blessing of God's power. This is my Father's world. And that power is demonstrated in the fact that you rule, O God. That's our second point. P was praise, R is rule. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Yes, that's what we really can give thanks for at Thanksgiving, isn't it? With all the troubles, with all the hot spots in the world, our God reigns. And so, King David, the warrior, could say the same thing. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, because you made it all. You created it all. So that's what he goes on about in verses 6 and 7. You who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, you stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the turmoil of the nations. Those mountains didn't just happen. They were put, every one of them was put there by God, established in its place by God. The storming seas, chaotic and fearsome as they are, you're the only one that can stop. The disciples learned that lesson in the Gospels. They were in a panic and they woke the Lord up out there on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the storm. And He stills the storm, and their first response the first time is, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey? The second time around, after He's fed 5,000, He comes to them walking on the waves. He rescues Peter. He steps into the boat and the winds calm down, we're told in Matthew. And now their second response is not, who is this man? But, truly, you are the Son of God. And so it is the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is God and God alone who stills cyclones in Bangladesh and wildfires in California and tornadoes and tsunamis and hurricanes. He alone can still the storm. And it won't stop until He says so. And so, our God is an awesome God who answers us, as David says in verse 5, with awesome deeds of righteousness. No wonder praise is fitting for you. Because not only have you made all things as your Creator, as our Creator, but by your power you sustain them. You sustain all things. Life itself. Every breath that we breathe. And to the Jewish farmers in David's kingdom that were reading this psalm and worshiping by this psalm, they lived in a dry place. And so, in their agricultural society, they were greatly dependent on rain. What David says here in verses 9 and 10 were crucial. You You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. And we don't need to be reminded of how crucial rain is today, just as it was for God's people back then. It's just as crucial for the city dwellers in Atlanta, as well as the farmers in Georgia. And even in our own congregation, there are people that still make the request for rain, aren't there? And 25 years ago, a young suburbanite preacher was coming down to Middletown, coming down through the wide open spaces, driving around out there on the Levels Road, some of the richest farmland in the whole East Coast. We used to have cows right here in town. Maybe you remember that. There's been a lot of changes, hasn't there? But still, there's a lot of land, a lot of scenery to work and to enjoy. And still, wherever we're at in terms of progress, it all depends. All of us must look to the Lord's hand. All of us must seek the Lord to provide every drop of rain, as King David did and as the governor of Georgia reminds us, urgently reminds us. It's time to appeal to the one who can and will make a difference. Because our God reigns. Our God rules. And so praise awaits you, O God. Praise is fitting for you. And so we praise God in His presence, right here and right now. We praise God for His power. We praise God for His rule. And we praise God as He answers our prayers. And that's our third point today. We praise God as He answers our prayers. And we find that in verse 5 when David says, "You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior." You answer us. And the question that we need to ask ourselves when we read a verse like this is that true for you? Can you say that? You answer us, O God, our Savior. Does God hear and answer your prayers as you look at your own prayer life, your own drawing near to the Lord? And that's what Thanksgiving is about. That's why we have this national holiday, isn't it? Because it's a time to reflect, a time to recount the goodness of the Lord and the specific blessings that He pours out upon us and the specific answers that He gives to our prayers. You think about your own prayer life. Has God heard and answered your prayers? Some people keep prayer diaries, keep a record to see the specific goodness of the Lord, to be able to count the many blessings. But as you think about your pleading with God, do you know that you're heard? Have you seen His hand moving in your life? Answers to your prayers for your future, for your children, for your family, that He will provide and prosper. For your health. Can you testify? We've heard testimonies of the Lord's hearing and answering prayer. One of the blessings for me in preaching the Word of God is to experience answers to prayer. Every week I experience an answer to prayer as somehow I have something to say from His Word every week as I get up here to preach. Now I have to say that some weeks it seems that the Lord hears that prayer more than other weeks. And in light of that, I just again ask you to pray for me as He's given me this great privilege to bring His Word to you week after week. But I want to say this week, and you know, God is always at work. We cannot deny that. But this week, I've seen His hand answer that prayer in a very specific way. I just was going through it every year about this time. I usually pick a psalm to focus on at Thanksgiving. And so I just happened to select Psalm 65 as a psalm of praise. And that was 2 weeks ago. And then, as it turned out, someone else had to lead the service last Sunday. And he mentioned about this governor's prayer. Governor of Georgia. And Jim mentioned it as well. And so I went back and check out the news report now. We have the blessings of the internet, so I was actually able to watch the video of the governor's speech on the internet, and that's a blessing too. And so I listened to Governor Perdue's challenge, and lo and behold, in the providence of God, he actually faced his challenge on the psalm that we're studying these 2 weeks, as the governor called every person, every one of us who believes in the power of prayer, to appeal to him who can and will make a difference. That's the power of prayer. He went on to say that prayer is a process. It's not an event. It's not just this prayer service. But the governor went on to say that God hears the fervent and righteous prayers of his people continually, because even without the rain, the mercy of our God is an unending tide. And there were a lot of amens as he made that statement, that made that affirmation. The mercy of our God is an unending tide. So as I watched that news report, as that was mentioned last week, and as I thought about my message for this Sunday, once again, I can say that the Lord has heard and answered my prayer in preparing to bring God's Word and to apply God's Word for us today, and how this psalm is still relevant to us, still very much applies to us as the people of God who are waiting on the Lord and relying on the Lord. And so David praises God, because you answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness. Can you say the same thing? The Lord has answered me. The Lord has heard and answered my prayers. And of course, the greatest answer is that he saved us. And that's what David rejoices in most of all, isn't it? You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior. He's made that possible for us to come into his courts, and when we're overwhelmed by sin, to know that we're forgiven. And so we can praise God because of his rule and because he answers our prayers. And so we have this little outline here. Praise God who rules and answers. P-R-A, and the Y, of course, is you. What is your response to our awesome God, who promises, who has proven himself to David and to his people, as again and again he hears and answers our prayers by his presence and by his power? What is your response? Well, you know the answer. It's to rise to the challenge of King David, the challenge of the governor of Georgia. It is the response to live your life in a life of prayer, a life of seeking the face of the Lord, of living your life to the full in his presence and by his power, that he is going to do great things far beyond all we could ask or imagine in your life, in the life of your family, and in the life of our church. So it's good, as we think about praising the Lord and praying to the Lord, to just take a moment to remind ourselves of how to do that. How to pray to the Lord. And again, we just take that little 4-point outline based on the word prayer. You begin with praise. Come into the presence of the Lord, praising the Lord. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. And so we come into the presence of a holy and awesome God, and what should be our second response? To repent, shouldn't it? We recognize who we are as we come into the presence of the Holy One. Lord, forgive our transgressions. So we praise and we repent, and then we can ask. And who do we ask for? Ourselves? We ask for others, don't we? Just like the Lord's Prayer. There's no I or me or my in the Lord's Prayer. It's thy kingdom come. Your will. What is your will for my life? What is your will for the world? Pray for that. And then give us this day. Forgive us our debts. Pray for others. Ask. Intercede on behalf of other people. That's having the mind of Christ, isn't it? And then as you do that, then there'll be the opportunity to ask for for yourself, to pray for your own needs as they come to your mind. Often it's the other way around, isn't it? Often it's we're rushing into the presence of the Lord when we're faced with a challenge, when we're faced with a conflict, and we get down on our knees and we cry out to God and we pray, and that's when we find ourselves praying our hearts out. But if we're going to be committed to a life of prayer, to a life of coming into the presence of the Lord and calling upon Him to bring praise to Himself, then we ought to approach Him in the way that He expects, in a way that brings honor to Him, a way of praise and repentance, and then asking for others and for ourselves. What happens, though, so often as we so focused on ourselves is that we get that outline reversed. So instead of P-R-A-Y, praise, repentance, ask yourself, it's often focusing on ourselves, just like we focus on ourselves in our lives. And we start with the why, don't we? We think about ourselves, and then we start asking, and then maybe we'll confess and repent. And finally, if we have time, we'll praise God for Himself. And what does that leave us with? Well, it leaves us with yarp, doesn't it? When you think about your prayer life, a whole lot of yarping going on. God hears a lot of yarping from people instead of praise and true Christ-centered prayer. That's what He's created the whole world for. He's designed the whole world to bring praise to Him. And that's what David says that the whole world is doing and will do. Praise awaits you, O God, in Thine name. And so the whole world shouts for joy and sings. Let's pray. O Lord our God, You are almighty. And we praise You for Your presence in our lives and in this world, and for Your power to rule and to reign, and for, because of Your power, the power of prayer. O Lord, help us to commit ourselves again to seeking You and to calling upon You as King David and the governor of Georgia have called us to do, and as You call us to do, to seek Your face and to pray that Your kingdom would come and that Your will be done. And with the whole world, we give You all the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing together hymn number 372. We're going to need some help from our singers today. This is a hymn that's based on the psalm we've been considering, Psalm 65. So let's just sing the first four verses of 372, Praise Waits for Thee in Zion.